Okay, so my name is John Nolden, and it's the 27th of April, and I'm here to interview you. And can I ask you to introduce yourself again? What's your name, please?
Can you talk a little bit louder?
Yeah, what's your name?
Brian.
Your full name? Your full name?
Ryan Douglas Harvey.
Okay, and where were you born then, Brian?
I was born, as far as I know, Riverside Road, Norwich, the Stoke Nursing Home. And that's all I know.
And what year was that, Brian?
1926.
And where were you kind of, where did you grow up?
I grew up at Brumstead, the other side of Stalham.
And how many years were you, did you?
I was there till I was 14. I lived there till I was 14. And when I left school, I moved to Topcroft with my aunt and uncle.
Yeah.
On the farm.
Why was that?
They gave me a job, the work. Okay. So I worked and lived in with my aunt and uncle.
And did they look after you well?
Yes, they did. Very well. Short cakes and I don't know what, everything.
And what were you? What kind of job did you do there, Brian?
Pardon?
What job did you do there?
Carriman, horseman, all sorts. Everything under the sun.
Was it
clean out every morning, get up at 5 o'clock, go and milk the cows, home to breakfast at 8:30, then back again at 9, after having my breakfast. Egg, bacon, I don't know what all.
Full English.
Full English. Yeah, my aunt, oh, she was a lovely cook. Yeah.
And how long did you...
I was out there for 3 years. And then I got impetigo on my arms up the hair, full of festered spots. And we always said that was an infection through the cows, milking the cows.
Mm.
But... After 6 months to a year, that all cleared up. And then I didn't go back anymore, not okay. To Topcroft. I got a job with Herbert St. Brumstead on the farm. And I done everything there, ploughing, all sorts, tractor ploughing, milking cows when he sacked the cowmen and they found out that I'd been milking the cows. So I was handed the job for 3 or 4 weeks until they got a new cowman. And I stayed there for 14 years. I had to stay there till I was 26 because he'd got me off from the army during the war.
Otherwise you'd have been conscripted.
Otherwise I'd been called up.
Okay.
But... I was, more or less a speciality for milking cows and...
A reserved occupation.
...growing the corn and one thing another. You know, somebody had to stay at home, didn't they?
They did, didn't they?
And that's what happened as far as 1955, I come away from there.
Did you? So did you use automated machinery or was it all kind of...
Yeah, that was the first start of tractors.
What's that?
At that time of the day.
Yeah.
Herbert used to go out and buy tractors and his father used to go out and buy horses.
To pull the ploughs.
And he'd have horses brought home and the horsemen had to break them in and all sorts.
Did they?
Okay. They had a horse one day, he put them in the roll, in the shafts, with the roll behind, and that just stood up straight. Oh, you know, that made me feel bad, I think, because I thought that was going over the backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
That stood up straight, God.
And they're big horses, were they?
They were big old horses. Them yeah. Big old cart horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what sort of, so do you had tractors, did they have like automated kind of...
Yeah, old standard Fords and... three-wheeler row crop ones, you know, all the ordinary fishing tractors, not like they are today, nothing.
A bit smaller as well.
Yeah, they were smaller, they were. Yeah, I used to have a pea vine and what I used to go cutting peas with three big old torpedoes on the front, what spaced it out as you drove at it, and that'd go into cutters behind.
Crikey.
Yeah.
And what was it like, sort of, can you remember what the weather was like during those times working on the land?
The weather has never been any different, sort of thing. Up and down all the while. I mean, we used to have some lovely summers then, though.
Yeah.
Really lovely summers. Yeah. I mean, the 1976, when I done this, or when I got north of that brew, that was a real scorcher.
Yes, I can remember.
Absolutely, 76 was a real scorcher.
Yeah. Okay, just going back to your childhood again, were you an only child or did you have any brothers or sisters?
No, I had a sister. I got a sister in care home at Tyvernham.
So you're still alive then?
She's 18 months younger than me. And, of course, she never did go back to the bungalow anymore. Not a Little Melton. And of course, I used to go over to Little Melton on a Sunday to see her husband.
Mm-hmm. Were you kind of good brother and sister? Did you play together or anything like, you know, were you kind of close with your sister? Were you close to your sister?
Well, yeah, when we were at home, you know, when we lived at Bromstead, I mean...
So without television, what kind of things did you used to play?
Well, we used to play mothers and fathers on a Saturday with the children next door.
Okay,
all that sort of thing in that time of the day.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's a lot of playing outside, was there?
That was all playing outside. I mean, once you went outside on the Saturday morning, you were outside there till dinner time, till Dad come home for dinner. And then went back to work again, and we'd go outside again in the afternoon. We had a little spaniel dog, and he used to dance around us and all that sort of thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Proper country life then.
Yeah.
So your parents, whereabouts did they grow up?
My mother was a Martin, and she originated from Brackenash. But there was 9 children there, and my Aunt Edie, who I went to live with after I left school, knew my mother's mother, and she took my mother in.
Okay.
Because there were so many in the family, couldn't cope.
Crikey.
And my mother used to go to market with my aunt, and my mother used to get laid in a tray time she was selling the veg and all that sort of thing.
Okay.
So she sort of more or less grew up with my aunt.
And that was over at Brackenash,
wasn't
it?
And that was over Brackenash.
Yeah.
And Moll Barton, because I think there was 9 in that family.
Crikey.
Yeah, they were big families then.
What did your dad do, your father?
My father, he was a motor mechanic in Stalham. I know, had my boy. He's water. Yeah.
So he was a motor mechanic in the early days of cars then.
He was a motor mechanic all his life. He done his apprenticeship in Norwich somewhere.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
He originated from Langley.
Yeah.
Where my granddad lived. Yeah.
And so you eventually came over to this side of Norfolk.
Yeah. So well, what happened was, I was born in Norwich, and mother and father had married. By special license, I think. I don't think it was a marriage, not then.
Yeah.
They got married with a special license. And they moved to Eccles.
Okay.
and lived at Eccles for a time until the council let them have a house, a council house at Bromstead. And that's where they lived for 60 years in that house.
Crikey.
Yeah, they were in that house 60 years, mother and father.
So when did you move to Sutton, where you are now?
When did I move to Sutton? Moved here?
Yes.
1972, from Catfield. I was at Catfield 21 years. I was 9 months in a Nissen hut on the Drome,
yeah.
My first home. I was a squatter. That by the council, that was.
What's that?
He said, Mr. Harvey, if you go up and in the one of the Nissen huts, I will allot you one of the first houses to come on the St. Catherine's Avenue, Catfield. And he kept his word. Mm. Yes, yeah, so we had a Nissen hut first, then the sergeant's mess come available. So I moved the family in there. That's where he was born.
Your son. Yeah. And
then we got the council house.
So when,
and then the wife, her brother, had this bungalow built. And the other brother, what was in the army, both brothers lived here together. And when Morris died, he left this to Joy. Because she used to push two children 3 days a week, pram, from the Nissen hut over to here 3 days a week and look after them.
That's a long way.
And one walk and then one in the pram,
yeah.
3 days a week. She used to come and look after her two brothers,
yeah.
And that's how he repaid her, by leaving her the bungalow.
Okay.
Word, boy, when everything went sky high, then
yes.
The older sister come in there and took the dirty towel off the door.
And what was Sutton like when you first moved here? Like, were there any shops? Because there aren't any now.
Yes, a shop here, look.
Yes.
There it is up there, look.
The post office?
Yeah, what's next door?
Yes.
There was the Wheel on the corner.
Is that the pub?
The pub.
Right.
Where we used to, when I was caught, and that's just where we used to go every other night.
Yes.
For a quick drink, and then I'd go home at 10:30.
Yes.
The Windmill up that way.
Another pub, yeah.
That's pub. There was a butcher shop in the middle.
Do you used to use that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used to go, Joe used to go and see the two boys, what kept it. Yeah.
So, would that have been in like when there was still rationing after the war? When you
That'd
were
be
here?
After the war, yeah, so, well after the war.
So.
Oh, yeah, this would be in the 70s.
70s, so.
Yeah, in the 70s.
Yeah. Going back to when you were younger and you took, when we mentioned about you were in this reserved occupation, did you notice the war living up here?
Hey?
Could you notice what was going on with the Second World War when you were a youngster? Did the, were there any bombs dropped or any activity living around here during the war?
Yeah. Round the back road, go down past the church. Well, no, the best way is to go up here. Do you know where Tony live?
Yes.
Turn right. And you know the house what got on fire?
Mm-hmm.
That was where Joey lived. I used to bike from Bromstead over here to see Joey nearly every night at that house.
Yes.
And that's where I done all my courting,
okay.
that big house. Go to the Parson's Corner, turn left. A Liberator laid in a road there.
A Liberator American
that
bomber.
That had come round and gone over Stalham twice. And then that came in from Hickling Way, and that took the top off that bungalow.
Did it? Crikey.
And the lady was in the outhouse the other side of the yard.
Did anyone survive or not, do you know?
Or the daughter now live on the hill, yes, going into Stalham. Judith she was.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah?
So did anyone from the aircraft survive, or had they parachuted out?
No, I think they nearly all got killed, I think.
Did they? Did you go and see
that? That was in the magazine not long back. But I don't know what happened. I wonder whether I send that one to my mate at Yorkshire. Hmm. Yeah, I don't think there was anybody got out of that one.
Didn't they?
No.
Did you see any of the American forces?
Yeah, Joe and I walked up there that night and there was two Americans on duty. That's all I knew about that. And of course, the next time I come this way, that was all cleared and gone. Yeah.
Because there was an airfield at Ludham.
At Ludham Airfield, yeah.
And
I think that was a Spitfire station.
Was it?
Yeah, Ludham was.
Did you see, can you remember seeing any of those aircraft going
around? They were flying about, I remember seeing them, but it never did go that way much.
Yeah.
No further than the West Line.
Were there any, the term evacuees, did there any kind of children billeted around here from
when
the London
I was,
area?
When I lived at home at Brunstead, there were some evacuees in a house just past me down towards Lessingham. Some evacuees during the war.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there were some evacuees. Been evacuated out there to the war down at Mr. Ward's.
Yeah.
During the war.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess because with Sutton and Stalham, there was a train running through along here. So.
Oh, yeah, the train run through here till 1963.
So you will remember that. Did you ever catch the train? Did you ever use the trains or not?
I went to Walsham a couple of times because that's only... Because I was lucky enough, as soon as the war ended, my dad put an Austin 7 1931, I got the photograph now, all the photographs of my cars, what I had.
Yeah.
And I said, what are you going to do with that Austin 7? What's on blocks? He said, what do you want? I said, yeah, I'd like to have it. And of course, got this out and got it gone, taxed it and everything, and I was lucky enough to have a car at a very early date.
Yeah.
When I was 17.
Yeah. Did you have to do
I was riding a motorbike at 15.
Well, you told me about a story about that, didn't you? About is it your dad had a motorbike and you were in the sidecar when you were younger?
Oh yeah, when I was very young. I mean, I suppose what 7 or 8. Well, I'd be perhaps just after school, when I'd started school. Father used to go over and see his father at Langley. And we used to go over and see them on a Sunday. And of course, I'd be put down the well.
In the footwell.
My sister, the footwell of the sidecar. Yeah. And my sister June would be laying on mother's lap with a blanket over her.
No seatbelts in those days.
No, there's no seatbelts.
No helmets, probably.
No, father never had a helmet.
Bearing in mind he was a motor mechanic, did he teach you how to kind of repair cars and service them? And
he taught me some things, but I learned a hell of a lot on my own.
Yeah.
But he used to buy these Douglases, that's why I'm named Douglas. He named me after the Douglas motorbikes he had. He used to buy all these parts and make the motorbike up. Mm. I mean, he could use the lathe where at work where he was. Mm. They were all belt drive.
Were they?
They weren't chain. They were belt drive.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. At that time of the day, and the handlebars were round.
Yeah.
Round at that time of the day. Yeah.
So, as you know, in 1953, there were some very bad floods around this area.
Yes, and I was on the beach for 10 months.
So tell me about what you did
with
there,
a bulldozer.
Brian. Yeah.
I had a TD9 International bulldozer.
Yes.
And April the 23rd, 1953 is when that come over. I'll always remember.
Yeah.
And I got called out at 2 o'clock in the morning, early hours of the morning, would I take over from the other, because we had two dozers. He put one down there and Hoover Company said, would you like to go on the beach with a dozer? I said, I'll have a go. Well, because when I started, I was up and down until I could level it, get it level. And I had 10 months on there, and that was lovely. That was a lovely summer.
Was it?
Yeah, it was a lovely summer.
But a bad winter.
Yeah. I met a young woman from Manchester.
Did you?
Down there, you know, and we met no end of people. Joy's sister's husband was working on there as well. One of the Neve brothers. Yeah.
And how bad was the damage to this area?
Well, what I'd done, where the opening was opposite the road, that's where the opening is, that all broke out. Of course, that slashed into that pub.
Did it? And did it come inland at all then?
Yeah, that come up nearly up to the top of the road. You know, the road, when you go down to see Paul and that go round and along Coaststone.
Yes.
And then that road goes down to the beach.
Yes.
That come right up to the...
Did it?
Right up to the end.
So your job was to kind of close that gap then, was it?
Hey?
Your job was to close the gap to
stop
the sea
coming
in. Yeah,
my job was to push all the sand off the land back into the gap.
Yes.
We wanted to seal that gap up.
Did any people die?
Yeah, there was one. They lost several. There was American what saved a lot of people. Wasn't it? Do you remember reading about that?
No.
Oh, that's been in the paper several times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So then going on to your career. At what age did you retire, Brian?
65.
You were 65. And what were you doing? Who did you work for just before you retired?
Trent Aluminium.
So over at Catfield.
Catfield, yeah. From Herbert's, I went and worked for my father-in-law on the poultry farm, driving the tractor for 6 months.
Right.
That didn't work out. So I got a job with Tooley and Watt, Tooley and Young's, which the old yard is now up Stalham in it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the old yard?
Yes.
Where the taxis and that are?
Yes.
And I went on to Caterpillar bulldozer. I went with them for 9 months and I got put on an aerodrome down near Ipswich.
A long way away.
I had to live in Thetford. But that didn't work out.
No?
God, they put me in a room right at 3-storey high. And I was absolutely frozen. So I gathered my, after After 9 months, I gathered my things up into my case, walked down to the station, the train station, and got a train through to Wroxham.
Came back home.
And I come back home. But as I was coming out of the station to the Stalham Road, I walked from the station through the Stalham Road, and he's come along. One of these lorries.
Yeah.
What are you up to, Brian? I said, I'm making my way home. I said, I'll now pack my job in with Tooley and Youngs. Oh, you looking for a job? I said, yeah, I will be. Well, he said, they got a lorry, Press Blind Davy, I got a lorry down at Yarmouth where Uncle passed the pubs.
Because it's a little bit kind of scary.
So I went and see the transport manager. Got a job straight away.
There you go.
And I was Press Blind Davy of the Miller's Cart for 9 months.
Okay.
Yeah. Then I moved on. 1965, I got a job with May Gurney.
Big company.
On a drot.
Yeah.
And, on the roadside, levelling off to be tarmacked and all that sort of thing, you know, digging out and that.
Hard work.
Yeah, yeah, I was digging out with the drot and... I was there for 5 years.
Whereabouts were you working?
I was working in Norwich from the depot. Then I used to go out on different sites. And in that time, I took a course to drive a crane.
Right.
The 22RB. 70-foot jib, and I went draglining then, draglining the river. Then from there, I got put on a dragline down at Frinton-on-Naas.
In Essex.
And I'd done 3 summers down there, time I was with them, in the 5 years.
So you were away from home a lot, Brian.
I was away from home a lot, you know, in sort of the middle part of my life.
And your wife, Joy, had to
after the 4 children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when you retired, what did you... You were living in Sutton then?
Yeah, I was in Sutton then.
Okay, and what have you... What did you decide to do when you retired? Did you have any hobbies?
Yes. I used to go around grass cutting. Mm-hmm. That's what I used to do until I was 80. And I packed up when I was 80, I'd had enough. And that's...
So that gave you some pocket money, so to speak.
Yeah, that used to give me some pocket money. In 1991, when I retired, I gave up cigars. And I said to Joy, I said, we might as well put that £20 worth of petrol in the car to go out for a ride on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And get you out of the four walls.
Yeah.
And that's what I done.
That's what you did, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in terms of foods and things that you've kind of eaten...
The what?
Food... What's your favourite meal if you could pick one, Brian? What's your like? What do you like eating? Favourite meal.
Well, I like the fish and chips supper. That's a favourite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bit of cod.
Yeah, nice piece of cod. Plenty of chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a little drinky to go with that?
Yeah, I drink a lot of. Cranberry juice.
cranberry juice.
We all just go on holiday together.
Whereabouts would you go on holidays?
We went Derby. Yeah. We went down to Derby once. We went down to Cumbria. We've been down south, all over the place.
And did you drive or go by?
I used to drive, yeah.
Did you?
I done 5 years in the summertime of going down to Blandford Steam Engine Fair.
Yes.
You ought to see the mugs and cups we got in there of steam engines on.
Is that something that you're interested in then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been interested in machinery all my life, right. Ever since I was born, nearly.
Yeah. No, no foreign holidays and going abroad on holiday?
No. I've never been abroad.
You've never been abroad?
I don't want to go.
No?
No. There's plenty to see in this country. You go down to Yorkshire and all round there, I watch all them Yorkshire programmes, all them farming programmes, watching the lambs being born and one thing another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't want to get on an aeroplane then?
Eh?
Don't want to fly on an aeroplane?
Oh, yeah, I've been, though.
Oh, a helicopter?
Yeah. When I was 90, they paid for a helicopter ride.
Yes.
And that went up, down towards Yarmouth, and come right round. And I'd like to go again.
Would you? You enjoyed it?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. That was lovely, that was.
Yeah.
There was one person in the front beside the pilot, and then there was three along the back.
Super.
Yeah, sort of like a five-seater.
Yes. And you mentioned about cars, we were talking about cars, so, you know, what sort of cars, apart from your Austin 7, what's probably your favourite car you've ever had when you were driving?
Well, the old Austin 7. It's a memento of the floods.
Oh, okay.
So I bulldozed that up.
Oh, you found it, did you?
Yeah, I found it when I was clearing.
And it's like a copper kind of little small object with a picture of a
Daimler. That's a Daimler, isn't it?
A Daimler, yeah. Lots of photographs of cars there.
That's my dad and me.
Okay, on the motorbike, yeah?
Yeah. There's one of me on the bike. Royal Enfield.
A Royal Enfield, wow.
There's my mother on her motorbike.
So your mother rode a motorbike as well, that's quite unusual, isn't it? Is that unusual?
Huh?
Is that unusual for you, a woman to be riding a motorbike all those years ago?
No. I don't think so.
No?
She used to love it.
Yeah.
There's another one. There's Dad's mother and father.
So that's your grandparents, a picture of them. Wow. Again, lots of motorbikes.
There's my sister. Bless her. There's another one, me and my bike.
That's a great photo. Whereabouts was that, Brian? Can you remember?
Bromstead, that's the old council house. Down Boynton's View. There's my favourite little car.
Yeah.
£200 I give for that. £275 I think.
So that was an Austin 7?
That's an Austin 7 Cabriolet.
Did they also used to call that a baby Austin?
Yep. And here's the one my dad had.
Oops.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you're right.
And now we're coming to the first one I had. The one I took off blocks.
Yes.
During the war.
Oh. And who is that standing outside the car?
My sister, I think.
Your sister with number 10. Was she wearing sports clothing?
That's right, yep.
Did she used to be sporty?
Yeah.
Oh, that's super. Super photo, Brian.
Well, that's when I had my BSA.
So you've got a black leather jacket on there. Is that a motorcycle jacket?
Yeah. Did you know?
What does dialect mean to you? The word dialect.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Okay,
no.
That's fine. There's no right or wrong answer.
I wouldn't even.
So,
a bit truthful, I wouldn't even know what it means.
That's okay. That's all right. What words would you describe that are local around this area? Do you know any words or family words that you've used to describe things that, an example like, you know, a butterfly or a bee?
Well,
or
like a bishy barney bee.
Have you heard of
that? As a ladybird.
Yeah.
Do you use that word?
Ladybirds. You see quite a few of them in the summer, don't we?
Yeah, but you call them a ladybird because I know historically people in Norfolk have called them bishy barnabies.
Well, you can call them either. We used to call them either, I think. I'm sure we did.
Yeah.
Bishy Barnaby and the ladybird.
Okay. Have you inherited any words from your parents or words that they may have used?
No, because my father was very solemn. He hardly ever talked. Like, he's just like that, that boy, exactly like him.
Yeah, okay.
Now, the little one, he'll come in, he'll plant himself in that chair and have a chat.
So your dad was quite a quiet type.
I've learned off my aunt because his sister lived in Norwich, Park Lane. We got a call one day, Joy and I did. Aunt Kathleen's on the floor, will you get Norwich quick? So off we go. Well, when we got there, she was grey as a badger. So we brought her home. She lived in there for time, and Sonia pulled the first strings and got a flat for her up at Teresa Court, up Canfield Lane.
Yeah.
And she was up there for 15 years.
Okay.
And he learned through Aunt Kathleen that he used to get the strap a lot and he'd go under the table.
Hide
under the table. And they reckon that's why he was like that. Mm. You know, very sort of his own sort of thing. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, whenever he come here and I had friends, he'd get behind the car and be looking in the mirror and comb his hair and all that sort of thing, you know, and he wouldn't come out. Until they're gone. Mm. No.
Okay. Can you see all right? Can you see these pictures?
Yes.
So, what would you call that creature there?
Hedgehog.
Okay.
Gnat.
And the second one, you'd call that a gnat, would you?
A gnat, yeah.
And the third photo?
That's a beetle, isn't it?
Okay.
That's one of them beetles what they don't like, do they? They reckon they've been coming over in the vegetables, don't they?
Have they? Have been imported?
Yeah.
Okay. What can you see that stuff? It's that. It's a garden weed.
That looks like grass to me.
Okay. And what would you say that drop is on the end there?
I don't know. Flying end.
Okay.
You know, in the morning when everything's a bit wet, what would you call that when there's water droplets on?
The heavy dew.
That's
dew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dew. Yeah.
And what would you call that bag of? What does it
look
like?
Well, that's a bag of menageries.
Okay.
They've got a paintbrush, a little bangle in.
Yeah. Okay, and that thing there that you might eat, what would you call that? Can you recognise it or
that's
not?
That's not an egg, is it? No.
No, it's something made out of, with flour.
Oh, yeah.
Don't worry too much. And what would you... Do you know what
that's
those...
That's a cake, isn't it?
It's like a small cake.
Sort of a bun in.
Okay.
And it, well, it's a scone, but do you call them scones or scones?
Scones, yeah. Scones,
you call them scones,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Well, that's a scone, isn't it?
That's a scone. And then those ones there, so... What would you call those there?
Onions.
Yeah, okay. And
this boy is in for a cuddle up.
Okay, a cuddle up, yeah. And what would you call this thing?
Seesaw.
Right, that's super. So we're just going to now... I'm going to ask you some more questions now, if that's all right with you. I know. So, what do you call a room in a house for storing food?
Kitchen.
Okay. If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, you're bound to feel... If you haven't eaten any food for a long time, what would you say to them? I feel...
Fine.
Okay. What words do you use for something to eat when you're saying...
I don't know what I'm not sure what they mean by that.
Okay. What's the dairy product that you spread on toast and sandwiches called?
Butter. Okay. I got some daisy this week. I got some Littles.
Did you?
I never heard of them before, but I tried it last night. It was all right.
Was it all right? If you fall over in the playground, your knee might be...
That's right, yeah, damaged.
Okay.
Cut, right. If you like.
If you got covered in dirt in the playground, when you get home, your mother might ask you to go into this to get clean. What's it called? The thing that you have...
Bathroom or...?
Yeah, bath. When children are very excited, they might say they are full of...
Joy.
Okay. At the end of the... When you've had a long day...
That's a favourite word, that is, joy.
Yes, it would be, wouldn't it? At the end of a long, tiring day, and the UK might have come home to joy, what would you say? I'm absolutely...
Shattered.
Okay. Which word would you use if you were not attending school? In other words, you should have been there, but you didn't go to school.
Well, I don't know, it could use a lot of words.
Okay, so I can't give you the word, but it's...
Well, we could give you a few variations. So I would say skiving, other people might say bunking off school or playing truant.
Yeah, that's... What would you use?
Well,
one of those?
One of those, I should say, skiving off
skiving
from
off
school.
Right, okay. Sometimes when children are very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away to a mysterious person. So I'm going to send you to the something.
Yeah, well, when I was younger, you were always afraid of a policeman.
Okay.
We used to watch the policeman down at Boynton's View. We used to watch the policeman come down the road. And when we were playing on the verge side, we used to run home. Say, here come a policeman, after you.
Chasing you.
Yeah.
You grow crops and raise animals on a...
field?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, okay. When you walk in the countryside after heavy rain, your shoes get covered in...
mud.
When driving a car in icy or wet weather, you must take care because the roads are...
slippery. I've been there. I know what that's like.
I bet you have, yeah. What word do you use as a term of endearment with strangers? Like, do you say buddy, mate, friend, dear, love?
Darling.
Darling.
Duck.
You might not use any of those.
No.
No, okay. What word would you refer to someone who's quite attractive?
Was quite attractive.
Yeah. Maybe a lady.
Nice.
Okay. What word the people, those people who spread rumours about other people?
I don't like that.
No, that's okay. If a picture is not hanging straight on the wall, what phrase would you use? Say it's on the...
right side.
Okay. What do you call a very small piece of wood that's got into your fingers?
Shiver.
Okay. What do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
What do I call what?
A person who mends shoes.
Shoemaker. That's what my brother-in-law did.
Did he?
Yeah, he used to make his...
yeah.
And he went to London and trained, and he used to make his own little boots. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a master craftsman, he was.
Okay. All right, Brian. Well, that's all of the interviews we need to do today, so thank you very much for your time.
That's all right. That's been enjoyable.